In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to speak to the congregation tonight. And I hope that my message be made clear and that it works on the hearts and minds and souls of the people here tonight, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity to get up here and give this message. And just love you. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, if you can hear me speaking over my heartbeat, that's good. Because I'm pretty nervous up here. And yeah. So, if you have a first aid kit, a spare tire in your car, engine oil in your trunk, road flares, a fire extinguisher. I know David's got one. And he said he's going to get a bigger one. Which is good. I need to get a bigger one too. I got one, but he got me thinking about that. Or a smoke alarm in your house, you're a prepper. You're a person that's being prepared. You may not be a prepper on a large scale, but you're still a prepper. We're all at different levels of preparedness. Noah was one of the first preppers. It was not Noah's lack of faith that made him build an ark and gather the food and animals to save. It was his strong faith in the Lord that moved him to prepare for the flood that was to come. God gave him exact plans for the building of the ark. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 14 through 16, God lays out the details. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou make of it. That was pretty clear instructions that he gave Noah there. So why was Noah saved? Because he followed the direction of God, something that we all need to do. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 through 9, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. You see, being a just person is not enough. It wasn't enough to save Noah, and it's not enough to save us. Our walk with the Lord is so much more important. You see, if we are truly walking with God, being just will be a side effect of that. So our first priority must be to establish our walk with God. Then the rest will come. How do we know how to walk with God? Well, it's easy. We read his word. We really get into our Bibles. We see what he has to say. Let's see what he says about being prepared. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 42 through 44, says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, ye also be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Jesus says, watch, be on the lookout, and be prepared, because it's not like the thief's going to call and schedule an appointment to break into your house. Like he's going to say, it's all right if I stop by Saturday night about 2:30, break into your house and steal everything of value. You say, for sure, that sounds great. I'll leave out some milk and cookies too. No! Thieves don't call and warn us, and neither do disasters. They're unexpected. So be ready to defend your family and your house. Have a plan of action for the unexpected calamities that this world can bring. Yes, think about how you would defend you and your family if someone broke into your house while you were home. What you would do if there was an earthquake that happened and the power grid down. The water didn't come out of your tap anymore. These are realities that we might ignore to our detriment. They do happen around the world. I think it was Venezuela. It was like the currency or something crashed. And I was reading about it. The people were standing in lines, food lines, depending on the government, because everything had been shut down. And I think the government controlled it. Basically, the only way to get anything was to go stand on the food lines. And it got desperate. People were killing cats, they're eating anything they could. I mean, I even heard a story that they had went, the animals in the zoo, they were eating the animals in the zoo because I couldn't feed the animals in the zoo because things were just so bad. So it does happen in this world. You just got to look around us. We're fortunate. We live in a blessed country, but we cannot take that for granted. So, where was I here? I was going to stick right to this so I wouldn't get lost, and here I got off. So, let's see. Okay. Do you have an alternative way to get enough clean water for every member of your family for an extended period of time? Figure one out. Not including water for hygiene, every person needs about half their body weight in ounces of water to drink every day. What about food? Do you have enough food on hand? The average house only has about 3 days' worth of food on hand. What about protection? Do you have any defense weapons? Do you practice with them so that you're proficient with them? A weapon is no good if you don't know how to use it. And if we are all prepared for the unexpected things, things will go a lot smoother for everyone. We can get through the hard times because we have the resources and knowledge to deal with it. So they won't quite necessarily be such hard times. We can sail through them. And preparation isn't something new. People used to, before we had refrigerators and grocery stores and stuff, I mean, people canned foods and put them off to the side to make it through the winter because things didn't grow and they couldn't get it from South America or some region where it's warm and have it shipped here. So that's not a new concept. It's a skill that we've lost. You know, we've forgotten about because things, we've gotten really comfortable, and that's kind of a scary place to be. When you get too comfortable, things can tend to go bad. But it's a good place to be. I love the comforts that we enjoy here, and I thank God for them. So let's see. I'll just do it. In Luke chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus says, "Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Jesus obviously thought it was all right for us to have weapons to defend ourselves from the enemy. I really like their attitudes, because in verse 38 they said, "Lord, behold, we have two swords." And he said unto them, "It is enough." I love their attitude about going above and beyond. Jesus said, "Get one sword," and they're like, "Dude, let's get two. Brownie points all around." So the two swords that I believe that they had were the one a physical sword made for battling the flesh, the other sword being the word of God, a spiritual sword. Because we fight two battles in the world. One battle is of flesh and blood, and the other battle is spiritual in nature. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the end of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's word is powerful, and it gives us the spiritual strength, the armor and the weapons we need to take on the greatest of challenges in life. Chapter 24, verse 10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Do you want to faint when confronted with an unexpected or tough situation? Or do you want to be ready for the challenge and take it on like David took on Goliath? Noah was willing to prepare for something not yet seen. That was a great example for all of us. If and when challenges arise, we need to have the faith, the faith that the resources God has provided will be enough. Just like David trusted that he could take down a mighty warrior like Goliath with a sling and a rock, when the challenge arose, he did not hesitate and say, "I need more than just this sling and a rock. Are you crazy?" He said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." See, it is important to make sure that God is on your side. How do you do that? Obey his word. Simple. The first step to being successful in any challenge in life is to put God first. How come Goliath didn't win with his enormous strength and all of his skills of war? Goliath did not have God on his side. David points this out in verse 47. "And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Although it was through God's divine intervention that David defeated the mighty Goliath, it took an effort on David's part too. His faith in the Lord, coupled with the action of stepping up to the challenge, led to his success. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25 says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." See, lazy people want things too, but their unwillingness to work for those things leads to their demise. So don't be slothful in your preparations. God asks for preparation in everything. He asks for preparation in our hearts and our minds to receive eternal salvation. Proverbs 16:1, the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. There's preparation in the winning of the offerings to the Lord. Numbers 15:8, and when thou preparest a bullock for burnt offering or for a sacrifice in performing a vow or a peace offering unto the Lord. Here's a few other examples of God speaking of preparation. There's way too many lists here. I just grabbed a few out of here, but Joshua chapter 22, verse 26, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, 4, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, according to the writing of Solomon his son. Isaiah 21, verse 5, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. Isaiah 57, 14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Preparation is a reoccurring theme in the Bible. God is telling us that preparation is important in everything. So don't ignore the importance of preparation in our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and actions. Out of all the preparations that I went over, the most important one that I want you guys to take away from this message, the number one to get done, number one, out of all the preparations, the most important is your eternal salvation. If you do not have that locked in, what are you waiting for? Tomorrow's not guaranteed, no matter how much guns, food, survival guilds, gear, skills, everything you got, that will not save you from going to hell. Only Jesus can save us from hell. Be prepared.